right. Morning, Life Point Church. Everybody doing well? Okay, one person. That's cool. Congratulations. Glad you're having a great morning. My name is Andy Driscoll. And I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point Church, and I'm just so thankful to have you here with us to worship and to celebrate what God is doing in your life and to receive His Word and to connect with other believers and all the many reasons that church is important. So I appreciate you being here, especially on a day when your drive home is probably going to be a little rocky. So, you know, but thank you for being here. We appreciate it. A quick announcement that I want to go ahead and share in case I forget towards the end of the services. We're scheduled for a baptism on the 29th, which I believe is next week, yes. But we are going to postpone that. Some of the individuals that were looking to be baptized actually are out of town and not able to be here on the 29th. So we're looking to move that to August 12th, which is the date of our picnic. So it should be a great day. So we're going to have our worship, and then we're going to have a baptism, and then we're going to have a picnic, and it's going to be a great day. So you definitely want to mark your calendars to be here for that. And again, if anyone has questions about baptism or is looking to be baptized or just anything, come talk to us. We're going to get a sign up out in the info table starting next week, so that if you're interested in baptism, you can sign up for that. But yeah, we're really, really excited about that. So today we are going to be starting a brand new series called Temptation. And what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is we're going to be looking through God's Word and His truth at how temptation plays out in our life and what we should do with temptation and what temptation is really kind of all about. And we're going to look through this and explore this and see how we can truly overcome the temptations that are in our life and how we can ultimately claim victory. See, because when we look through God's Word, we're going to see that He is faithful, that He's always faithful. And that when temptation comes, regardless of what it is, whether it's something major, it's that crippling thing that's been in your life that you're faced with over and over and over with and you wrestle with and you struggle with. Maybe it's some secret that no one else knows. Or maybe a temptation is maybe it's minor, something very small or you know, whatever it is. What we're going to see is that God is faithful. And He always gives us a way out. A way to maneuver around that temptation and remove it from our life. So, and again, my hope and prayer is that over the next 4 weeks, as we look through this, that your relationship with God will become stronger. And as a result, you'll be able to push aside those things that maybe have been tripping you up for years, that you've been wrestling with for maybe decades, whatever it may be, but that through this, through that strengthen relationship with God, with understanding who God is and how He interacts with you and how much He loves you, that you will ultimately be able to be set free from those temptations in your life. And I believe that this is an incredibly important topic because every single one of us here are tempted in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you think you are. Or how good maybe you are. I don't care how long you've been coming to church or going to church. You know, maybe you were, you know, raised in the church. You know, that's the way I was. I was, you know, I felt like I was born there. My earliest memories were running around the church, you know, or church nursery or whatever. So, but I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how long you've been a Christ follower. Every single one of us are faced with temptations. And every single one of us at times have moments of victory. But every single one of us also have times where we give in to that temptation, to whatever that selfish desire is, or whatever that thing is in our life. And I don't know what it may be for you. I mean, we all are wired differently, and we all are tempted in different ways. The ways that I'm tempted may be different than the ways you're tempted, and the way that you're tempted may be different than the way that this person is tempted. But we're all tempted in some way, shape, or form. I mean, for you, maybe it's some chronic battle with a substance that you've been battling with in your life. Maybe it's prescription pills or some other drug, or maybe it's excessive consumption of alcohol or alcohol abuse or whatever that may be. Maybe for you it's overeating. I mean, you just eat and eat and eat and eat and you can't stop and it's become an addiction for you and you're constantly tempted with wanting to eat more and more. Maybe it could be pornography or looking at other inappropriate images or things like that that lead to those lustful thoughts. Maybe it's acting on those lustful thoughts that may come in, or those angry thoughts that come into your mind, whatever that may be. Maybe it's lying. You're just a great liar. It just pops off the tongue real quick. Or it's withholding the truth. Or maybe it's gossip. You are the king or the queen of gossip. You know everybody's business and you are quick to share it. And you're like, you know what, I'm not going to. But then that moment comes up and you just can't help yourself. You just got to share it. Talking bad about other people. I don't know what it may be for you, but I do know with 100% certainty that every single one of us are faced with temptation throughout our life. And how we respond to those temptations truly matters. It does. You know, we hit as a youth pastor, you know, before I became the lead pastor, I was a youth pastor for many, many years, and, you know, teaching to teenagers about overcoming temptation is a given. You know, we really focus on temptations with teenagers, but as adults, hey, it didn't stop when you turned 18. It didn't stop when you turned 25 or 30 or 35 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. It doesn't stop. Because we face a real enemy who is here to kill, steal, and destroy everything that you are. So the temptations are never going to stop. So we have to be prepared. So with that being said, let's go ahead and check out what God's word has to say specifically about temptation. And we're going to check out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to review verses 12 and 13. And this is a passage of scripture that we're going to keep coming back to each week throughout this series. So check it out. Paul says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." And check this out. He says, "And God is faithful." Even when we're not, even when we choose to go about things our own way, rock our own paths, and do these different things, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, not if, note that, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Man, such a comforting statement. Something that we can take confidence in, not in our own abilities, but in Christ. That he, in fact, says that that we know that he's faithful, right? And that he provides a way out, regardless of what it is. Whatever that temptation is that's tempting you to do something that may eventually be harmful to you or to others or to your relationship with God, there's a way out. And since today, what we're doing in this first week is we're really just laying a foundation about temptation. We're laying the foundation that's going to lead us through the next few weeks. So in order to actually lay a foundation, the first thing that we need to do is we need to actually have a definition, right? A working definition for temptation. And I heard this definition once, and it's this, and I think it's a pretty good one, so we're going to use it. It's that temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Real simple. Anything that promises satisfaction, you know, it may feel good, you may enjoy it at the time, it may actually, you know, maybe bring some quality of life to you in that moment, but it's at the cost of obedience to God. You know, scientists actually have proven that physiologically, whenever you give into a temptation, you're tempted and you actually give into it, that we get like this chemical that releases in our brain is dopamine. And it gives us this little rush, right? This little kick, this little excitement. You know, we get that physiologically. I know, you know, you may feel a certain way about science, but science is science, and that's what happens in our brains. And that's what when we give into that temptation, there it is. So maybe for you that temptation is to buy things with money that you don't have. It's not a good thing. But how many of y'all have ever done that? How many of you've, be honest and say, you know, I bought something that I shouldn't have, it was selfish, and I didn't even have the money to do it, right? A lot of hands are going up. How many of you all, after you made that purchase, like immediately after it, whoo, you feel good. You had that rush, right? And how many of you, when you got that first payment coming in the mail, did not feel good? Right, right. But when you do, when you get that little boost, right? It feels good. You got something new. Or whatever that temptation is, you get that kick. But it's typically quickly followed by some intense feeling of guilt and shame. Man, I shouldn't have done that. Especially something more serious, right? That thing that you've been wrestling with. You know, I have friends that, honestly, friends that are alcoholics or that have been addicted to drugs at some point in time. And when they give in to that temptation, man, they're in that moment, man, they've got that high. You know, they're on cloud nine. And man, they just are devastated afterwards. God, I can't believe I did it. I failed again. And they're miserable. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. And with that, since we have that working definition, as we continue to lay out this foundation for the weeks to come, I want us to look and identify through Scripture four different truths about temptation. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of our time this morning. We're going to look at four different truths about temptations. And the first one that we're going to look at is that it is not a sin to be tempted. Okay? It is not a sin to be tempted because it's going to happen. It's not wrong to be tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest, being Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, he did not sin." So here we see Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, was tempted, and he didn't sin. Therefore, we can draw that to be tempted is not a sin. It's not wrong. And that may seem real simple, but this is important because what happens many times is that our spiritual enemy will use just the simple temptation itself as a way to destroy us, to make us feel guilty, right? We get this false guilt that comes. I'm telling you right now, I'm like probably the king of false guilt. Like I'll feel guilty for like something that someone else did that I had nothing to do with. Like I just, you know, that was, unfortunately, that's the culture that I was brought up in, the religious culture of just guilt and shame, just hammering at you constantly. But it's not a sin. But the enemy will use that to destroy us, to break us down. And as a Christ follower who is always living in guilt and shame, you're never going to be what God's created you to be and do the things that God created you to do when you're consumed with guilt and shame. So think about it this way. For example, and this is a ridiculous example, but just bear with me. So take dessert, for instance. How many of y'all like dessert? I hear you. It's not a sin to have dessert, y'all. 3, 4, 5? Maybe. But maybe for you, take this example, that maybe for you, you have an addiction to eating. You have an addiction to sugar or to sweets or whatever. You know it's not healthy for you, and you are convicted about that. And so you've decided, you know what, I'm not eating sweets, I'm not eating sugar, I'm not eating desserts, and that's your conviction. And then you're out to eat, right? And then the table next to you, three of them order chocolate lava cake, and it looks incredible, and you can actually smell it. And then all of a sudden, you're tempted, right? You're tempted. You know what? Maybe I'll just order one. Haven't had one in a long time. I'll treat myself. I'm going to order one. And maybe you even actually get a menu. You're like, oh, man, they got so many other desserts, too. And then you're like, okay, hold up. Wait a minute. Nope. Not doing it. Not doing it. You pay your ticket, and you roll out. You actually did good. But sometimes the enemy will use that, and then we'll feel guilty. He's like, well, I shouldn't have got a menu. I shouldn't have had that thought. I shouldn't have been tempted. But see, Jesus was tempted, yet he didn't sin. And we need to understand that so we don't walk around with false guilt. Maybe for you, it's that, again, that temptation visually. Maybe that's your sin, have to do with pornography or looking at other images, and you're working online or something, and then all of a sudden that Victoria's Secret ad pops up on the side, because you know the websites now just randomly pop up, and you're tempted to click on it, you know, just to browse around. But you don't. You did good. You don't have to feel guilty because you were tempted. Or you're driving down the Waterson Expressway, and somebody from Texas happens to ride your bumper and then cut you off, and you're really tempted to pull up beside them and tell them they're number one. But you don't. You take a deep breath. You might grip the steering wheel kind of tight. And you just keep it moving. And you let them speed on down the way. You did good. It's progress. It's progress. I made some progress recently. But seriously, understand that to be tempted is not sin. God is always working on us. We are always should be moving forward and trying to be refined to eventually that when that person does ride our bumper, that we're not even tempted. We don't even have that thought. But in the process, when you have that temptation, that's not necessarily wrong. Acting on it is different. But we need to understand that it is not a sin to be tempted. Our spiritual enemy wants us to think that. Because if he can get us to feel guilty and sideline us and get us off mission because of nothing, that's a win for him. It's not a sin to be tempted. The second truth that we see and need to understand is that you are never above temptation. You are never above temptation. Again, I don't care who you are or how good you are or how long you've been a Christ follower, how spiritual you are or how many hours a day you pray. You are not above temptation. Jesus himself was tempted. So if Jesus was tempted, why in the world would we think that we're above it? You are never above temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, so if you think you are standing firm, hey, be careful that you don't fall. Don't get too arrogant. Don't be too confident. If you're sitting here right now and you saw that the series was temptation, you're like, oh, I'm good. But man, I'm sure glad so-and-so's here. Man, watch out. Watch out so you don't fall. Because none of us are above being tempted. And when we become arrogant and we think we're good and we drop our guard, that's when our enemy attacks. And he will take you out. I mean, think about it. How many times have you heard about a famous pastor who has a moral failing publicly? Right? Or that person that you think is a spiritual giant, and you find out this about them, about him or about her. Or that husband or that wife that seems to be the perfect spouse, and they have the perfect family, right? With the dog and the white picket fence and all that jazz. And then all of a sudden, one of them does something, or both of them, that totally wrecks their family and their marriage. I mean, we see it all the time. And far too often, I won't say always, but far too often, it's because these individuals become arrogant. They think they're untouchable. They don't think that they have to guard themselves against this and this and this because, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I have a great relationship with God, and I'm spiritual. And you drop your guard, and the enemy attacks. And normally when this happens, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. We have to understand that in any given moment, because of our fallen state, right, of our sinful nature, every single one of us is capable of doing some pretty messed up things. So we have to be on guard. We have to pay attention. We have to be aware that we are susceptible to temptation and be on guard. None of us are above being tempted. Not myself, not any other pastor or staff here at LifePoint Church. We are all potential victims of temptation and falling. And so are you. We have to be on guard. The third truth concerning temptation that we see in Scripture is that God will never tempt you. Understand that God will never tempt you. Now, God may test you, but he's not going to tempt you. And there's a big difference there. You see, like when someone is tested, when you're testing somebody, you're doing that to see, man, we're trying to see if they're ready, right? If they're ready to move forward, if they've made that progress, if they're ready to move on to bigger and better things. So God may do that in our lives to prepare us for what he has in store for us. So at times we may be tested, but God will never tempt you. See, our enemy, he'll throw things out there to tempt us because he wants us to move backwards, not forwards, backwards. He wants to destroy us. But see, that's not God. God is not tempting you. Understand that he will never tempt you. James says it like this in James chapter 1, verse 13. I mean, it's pretty clear. He says, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation does not come from God. But it says this, temptation comes from our own desires. Again, we are fallen creatures. We are sinful by our very nature. And some people don't like to have that conversation. Some people don't like to think, you know, well, I'm a good person. And you may do some really good things. You may be a good-hearted person, and that's great. We have a lot of those people. I know a lot of them. There's a lot of you. Probably every single one of you in the room is a good-hearted person. But to your core, by nature, you are fallen. You are sinful. And if you don't believe me, and you don't have kids, trust me on this one. You don't have to teach a two-year-old or a toddler to throw a temper tantrum when they're told no or when they don't get what they want. You don't have to teach them that. You don't have to teach them to be selfish because naturally they're selfish. They like to throw temper tantrums. Sometimes even older ones do too. Anyways, but we have to understand that, right? That we're all fallen. Temptation comes from our own desires. James continues, he says, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, gives birth to death. So you have a temptation that comes from our own selfish desires, entices us and drags us away. It then births some type of sinful action in our life, which then brings about death. And that's pretty intense. Brings about death, spiritual death, at times physical death. But it brings about death. Understand that sin never brings life. Again, sure, it may feel good in the moment. Sure, it may be fun for a season. I'm not going to lie about that. That's the truth. At times, it's fun. But it never brings life. There's always a consequence because it's direct disobedience to God. Sin never brings life. But see, Christ births life. Always. Through Christ, we have life. You see, God is holy, right? He's righteous. He's pure. He's perfect. He's loving. He's full of grace. And he's constantly leading us on that journey to be more like him. That's the direction that he's taking us, not to sin, but to righteousness. And we have to know that. We have to understand that God will never tempt you to sin. All right. So the first truth was that it's not a sin to be tempted, right? Second truth is that no one is above being tempted. We just talked about that God will never tempt you. And the fourth and final truth that we're looking at is that God will always provide a way out. Right? There's always a way out. No matter how intense that temptation is or how intense that sin is in your life or that struggle or that thing that you battle, there's a way out. Or how small and insignificant, maybe that little small piece in your life that everyone knows about, everyone sees it, there's a way out. God always gives us a way out. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, and God is faithful. Beautiful words. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, again, we're all tempted, when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out so that you can endure it. He's faithful. He's not going to leave you stranded. He's not going to leave you to your own devices, because if he does, we're failing, falling flat on our face. But he's always going to provide a way out. And each of us are different. And I don't know what your way out is. It's going to be different maybe for you than it is for me, because we're all wired differently. But what I do know is that he will provide it. And he will make it known. Maybe for you, your way out is through owning and confessing the sin in your life to God. Going to him and saying, God, this is, I know this is wrong and I've screwed up. And God, just forgive me for this and heal me of this and break me free. And break these chains that are around me. Give me freedom from this. Maybe it's confessing to him. Proverbs 28 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Maybe your way out is through confessing your sin. Maybe your way out is confessing your sin and connecting with other Christ followers. That can be very scary, right? To be in community with other believers. Unfortunately, that's scary because of the gossip and the things that we may fear. But when you're connected with just a solid group of other Christ followers, you're able to confess those things, to reveal those things. Here's my struggles. Here's where I'm tempted. Let other people know that so that they can watch out for you. They can help you, hold you accountable to those things. They can check in with you. They can be praying with you. And then you can do the same for them. Maybe that's your way out. I'm telling you, there is something so freeing about being able just to tell another person what you're struggling with or where you screw up. Or where, you know, what you've done. Just to be able to unload that, get that off your chest is so freeing. And it's freeing because that's how it's intended to be. We need to confess to God and we confess to people. Because we're not created to live just isolated, but in community. And part of transparent, open community is confessing those things. So maybe that's your way out. Maybe it's you have some very, very deep-rooted hurt, some very deep-rooted pain that is also leading you into some of those temptations or is causing you to fall to those temptations. And maybe for you, your way out is going to get some really good counseling, going and seeing a good therapist. That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. If someone's having chest pains or has an injury or whatever, they're really quick to go to the doctor. But with our mental health, for some reason, we pause and we freak out. But maybe that's your way out. Maybe that's that next step for you. As you continue to seek God and as you confess, maybe you too need to also go see a good counselor. We could probably all benefit from some good therapy. Probably every single one of us. But there's a way out. And again, I don't know what it is for you, but there's always a way out. I can't tell you how many times throughout my life where I've been in the middle, like right in the middle of a temptation, and I, as clear as day, saw the way out. Here's my exit strategy right here to avoid this sin. I know how to maneuver around it. It's clear as day. And many times I've taken that path. I've received God's faithfulness and his goodness and that way out he created for me, and I run. Unfortunately, other times I say, no, I got this, and I fall on my face. But God is faithful. He always gives you a way out. And our God loves us so much that even when we fall, even when we reject that way out and we give in to that temptation, his grace is so pure, his love is so pure that he yet again gives us a way out. He always lets us come back to him because he loves us that much. There's always a way out. Please understand that you yourself cannot create this way out. Only God can. Because again, we're failed, flawed. We fail every single time we try to do it on our own. Again, you might have glimpses of success, but ultimately, we need him. We have to have him. Because in our fallen state, we're vulnerable to these temptations. And the enemy knows that. But the beautiful news, the great news is that Christ is stronger. Christ in us is stronger than any of those evil desires that still exist in us. Our sinful desires, our selfish desires, Christ is stronger than all those things. He's bigger and better than all of those things. And he could snuff all those things out. See, because when we're weak, he's made strong. His strength is perfect. And I claim that, and I cling to that so much that when I am weak, I'm okay. Because in my weakness, man, he's perfect. And he's got me. And he'll give me that way out. So understand that every time you're tempted, he's faithful. He's faithful, and he gives you that way out. And that way out only comes through his son. It's only through God, through Christ, that we have that way out. And that he's the only way that we can truly be set free from those temptations that haunt us. Understand they're going to be there. Please do not walk out of this sanctuary today thinking, cool, I'm going to be free of temptation. I did a bad job of communicating. You will be tempted. But know that God is faithful and he's going to give you that way out. So take it. Receive it. And run from that which brings death. And run to what brings life. And that's Christ. Let's pray. God, again, we thank you so much, so much for who you are in our life, God, that you, despite our flaws and our failures and our selfishness and our arrogance, God, that you give life, that when we fall and then we come back to you, God, that you're always willing to receive us and restore us and love us and allow us to remain in your presence. God, I'm so thankful for that. God, we're thankful that you always provide a way out. And may we receive that. As we continue in a spirit of prayer this morning, maybe you're here and you've never come into a relationship with Christ. Maybe you've been going to church for a while or just recently kind of checking out the claims of Christ, want to see what this thing's all about. But you've never stepped over that line of faith and entered into a relationship with God. And if that's you, I'm telling you, it is the most incredible decision you will ever make in your life. When you have that relationship with him, you're made new. You're made new in him. The old things are gone. All things are new. Again, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, obviously. Doesn't mean you're going to be above temptation. No, but it means that you have him in your life, walking every step with you. He's with you, and he provides a way out. And he comforts you. You do life with him, and it's beautiful. And if that's you this morning, you've never stepped over the line of faith, I encourage you to continue to check out the claims of Christ. See how much he loves you, that he sent his son to die for you, to shed his perfect blood so that you could be made whole again. And if that's you this morning and you're ready to step over that line of faith, Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing. It's giving your whole heart to him. Confessing that you're flawed, that you're not perfect, and that you're in need of a Savior. Confessing that he is the only way. That he's the way, the truth, and the life. That he died and rose again for you. It's confessing and believing. And here in a minute, as Mike plays, right there from your seat, you can call out to him and give him your life. Confess and believe. Or you could come forward and talk to one of the leaders that will be up here. And they'll be more than happy to talk to you. But maybe you're here and you're a Christ follower and you've been a Christ follower for some time. But man, you've been wrestling with temptation. Or there's that thing in your life. We all have that one thing, at least that one thing, that we struggle with. And give that over to him. Release that. Don't hold on to that anymore. Confess that to him. Confess it to someone that you trust. Seek some accountability. Do what you need to do, what you can do, but ultimately understand that it's only through him that you can be set free. You will be tempted, but you don't have to be a victim to that temptation, because there's a way out, and it's through God. And if you are a Christ follower and you know this, and claim it today, reboot. Receive that word from him. This time I'm going to lead us in a prayer and then turn it over to Mike to play, to worship. And as he does that, you just do business with God. Whatever it is. Again, even if it has absolutely nothing to do with temptation or anything I said, and he's speaking to you, man, you respond. You can do so right from your seat, or you can come forward. Whatever you're comfortable with, whatever God's leading you to do, you have freedom to do that. God, again, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace and your goodness, God. We're so thankful. And Lord, during this time, God, I pray that each and every one of us, God, that we would do business with you, that we would seek you, that we would worship you, that we would praise you for the things that you've done in our life. And God, that we would seek you for healing, for restoration, to confess, to prepare us to follow your way out when that temptation comes. Or maybe, God, that someone needs to give their life to you, God, I pray that they would just fall before you, God, and give it all up. And receive you as their Savior. God, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that you would just continue to work in each and every one of our lives so that we can be more like you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.